Good singing, good music like that will make bad preaching sound good. Amen? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Thank you, Hearns family. They are a blessing to our church. I met Brother Allen the same night I met your pastor many years ago in a Bible conference or a revival. And he's just been a blessing all these years. And his family, we love them, we support them. And we thank the Lord for what God's doing in Israel. Amen? Amen. Well, it sure is an honor to be back on Tuesday night. Thank you for coming back. That does me good. Appreciate your kindness and your charity. Amen. But it is always a blessing. I love the Trinity Baptist Church. I do. I thank God for it. Thank God for your preacher. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand again in this pulpit. It's a blessing. It is. I left my dear wife at home. We're celebrating our 38th anniversary here next week. And boy, I thank God for her. I was telling Josh, he married up and so did I. Amen. I told her the other day, I said, I can't believe God could make it so beautiful and so stupid at the same time. And so she paused, as wise women do. And she answered, she said, I guess God made me so beautiful that I would fall in love with her, and made her so stupid she'd fall in love with me. Amen? There's a lot of truth to that. Amen. The book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 5, please. 2 Kings chapter number 5. She got me back. She said, when I married you, you were a hunk and you turned into a chunk. Amen? A familiar portion of Scripture in the book of Kings, interjected by God in regards to all that's going on in the nation of Israel. Takes a little sidestep and talks about an interesting thought about a baptism in the Old Testament. I know we're in Bible-believing circles tonight. We understand that one of the biggest bothering things in me in Alabama is when you ask somebody, are they saved? And they say, I've been baptized. Drives me up the wall. I'm thankful they've been saved, but that's the wrong answer. By faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me as an old sinner. And then as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you the first stage of getting out of kindergarten, and that's obeying the Lord and believer's baptism. It's something Christians do. And so I know I don't need to say that here tonight, but I'm saying it anyhow. Amen. But you start thinking about this portion of Scripture. It's one of those circumstances in the Old Testament where an old boy gets baptized, not for salvation, but for cleansing. And it's an interesting picture, of course, in 2 Kings chapter number 5. I hope that you're there. In verse number 1 says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him, by Naaman, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. But, that's always the conjunction. Everybody's a little off center, aren't they? Boy, everybody's got their flaws. Ain't nobody perfect here tonight. I hope you left your horns at the altar when you came in. Amen. If you've got your halo on tonight, you're in the wrong place. He says, but he was a leper. Boy, that's some condemnation. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. We see here the amazing providence of God. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he, the prophet, would recover Naaman of his leprosy. That's quite a claim. And one went in and told his lord, the king, saying, thus and thus. I love the way the Bible speaks. Thus and thus. Amen. We'd be good if we could just do that. Just thus and thus. In other words, didn't go into all the details or we'd be carrying around the Encyclopedia Britannica for a Bible. Amen. And boy, God has a way. Thus and thus saith the maid, little old gal, that is in the hand of Assyria. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him, Naaman departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou, the king of Israel, mayest recover him, or Elisha would recover him, of his leprosy. It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Oh, humanly speaking, it's impossible for this king to even begin to know where to begin. And he figures out it's an entanglement. It's a political setup. And boy, they're getting involved in just rhetoric that kings do. Now, thank God we're not kings, amen? Thank God we're not in that realm. And boy, he says here in verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. Boy, word got back to the preacher. And he found out that the king, who he has many quarrels with, not on the same page, man, many conflicts with this king. And boy, he heard what was going on, and he'd rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. Send Naaman down to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots. Man, what an entourage. I mean, you're talking about an amazing piece of work. Wasn't just an old broken down car and a bunch of ragtag folks. Now, this is a king's bunch of folks and blessed with all kinds of luxuries. And boy, the Bible says in verse number 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again. Back to verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come out to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word tonight. We thank you for this privilege to assemble ourselves in this place. We thank you, Father, for the assembling of ourselves. What a blessing it is to be in church. What a blessing it is to be able to come and honor you. What a blessing it is to be with God's people. What a blessing it is to come apart from the world for a few moments tonight. Bless your dear people. Many worked hard today and struggled in the world and came to church tonight needing some help. And Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon them. Thank you for the good hymns, the good congregational singing. Thank you for the good special. And Lord, we thank you for the good word of God. And we pray now your blessings upon the preaching of it, that you'd be pleased, you'd help your unworthy servant, and you'd bless your people, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would receive all the honor and the glory. And we'll be careful to thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You think about this portion of Scripture tonight, has a lot to say about Naaman. The Bible says there in verse number 1, he was a great man. Boy, you don't hear the Bible say a lot of people in the Bible are great. God doesn't just flirt that around. God doesn't say, boy, you're great. You know, God just doesn't do that. Matter of fact, Job warned about it over in Job chapter 32. He says, great men are not always wise. Sometimes smart people are the dumbest people in the world. They can tell you how to do everything and can't absolutely open the box. Amen. You know, school folks, educated, no smart, but no common sense. Can't absolutely fix a commode. Amen. I mean, it's really the way it is. So in Scriptures, some compliments, it's something for God to say he was great in his realm as a captain. Well, you think about, not only was he a great man, but the Bible says there in verse number 1, an honorable. Boy, that's a quality that the Lord loves to honor. Boy, the Bible talks about honoring your father and your mother. Boy, that's the thing that's fallen off on hard times. We think about folks in the past generations, post-war, and the great generation they're called. And boy, I tell you, they're living into their 80s and 90s. I don't think this generation has to worry about that. You say, why? I don't know that they honor their mom and daddy like they should. The Bible says it's a promise that you'll be blessed with long life. And boy, it's a blessing when you honor the Lord and when you honor God's Word. And the Bible talks about giving double honor to the man that labors in the Word and doctrine. And what a blessing it is when you honor him with the first fruits of your increase. Amen. Amen. Kill a meeting by taking up an offering, but it ought to be an honor to give to God. Amen. It's an honor to be here tonight. This old man was an honorable man. He honored the king. I love to honor the country. I love America. I think it's the greatest country in the world. I love Alabama. I don't mind Tennessee. Just kidding. Don't want to lose you tonight. Some of you wonder why I haven't been here in 10 years. I could go into that and it may not get done. Amen. It's all good. It's all good. Amen. But you think about honoring the king of Israel or Syria had great trust in this man's character and his integrity because he was honorable. Well, could God call you a great man because you're honorable tonight? Oh, I believe he wants to. I believe honor is something we can all attain. Naaman, not only that, it says he was a mighty man of valor. He had some braveness to him. I mean, this man was a military man. And how we need some. Thank God for the warriors in our country. Thank God for our military. How we love to honor them. How we love to honor Old Glory. Amen. Hadn't been in church in a while where somebody done a lap with Old Glory. Amen. Oh. I was watching one news clip a while back, and one of them late night so-called comedians was an idiot. He said, "Did you see the president the other day? He was hugging the flag." And he was laughing at him like the president was an idiot. Oh, it's just absolutely a mess, isn't it? Boy, God, give us some more people. I wish I could get to that flag instead of breaking my neck. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I love Old Glory. Amen. Amen. Oh, a mighty man. And this old boy has quite a resume, you know, just to be great and honorable and brave. But, you know, everybody's flawed. I was talking to our church the other day, and boy, so many times in our generation, so many people overwhelmed with problems. And I mentioned to the fact, everybody's a little off center. Everybody. If you think you've arrived tonight, God help us. God help us. Boy, he has an impressive resume, but he just has one problem. He has an incurable disease. He's a leper. That's what the Bible says. And boy, it's amazing here. Leprosy throughout the Bible is a type of sin. And in a sense, it's an incurable disease of the flesh. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short," including Sam Delaney and Dilbert Terry and everybody here tonight. Oh, oftentimes I even come to the Lord as a saved man and say, "God, I've come short of your glory." Boy, I tell you. But you and I have one thing in common with this old boy, and that is we have flaws, we have faults, we're sinners. Boy, there's no cure for leprosy tonight except a supernatural healing. Well, there's an amazing principle here takes place here in verse number 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies, and you see the providence of God. And I love to see God work, don't you? Love to see that unseen hand. Love to see that unidentified breeze from another country. Love to see circumstances working for good. And boy, we see here the providence of God in the life of a little slave. Little old gal. And boy, it's amazing here. It says there was a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She knew all the circumstances. And I'm telling you, this old gal was taken in one of Naaman's campaigns, and she could have been bitter. He could have said, "Man, I don't give a rip if he's got leprosy. I hope he dies. Took me from home. Took me from mom and dad. Don't even know if they're alive." Could have been bitter. But this old gal's got kind of like Daniel. She's got an excellent spirit. Amen. Oh, I understand it can be bitter. And I understand you could say, "I don't want to say nothing." But she speaks up. She's in a position where she has information that can help Naaman. Boy, I tell you, we've got information tonight. Everybody ought to know the information we've got. It's called the good news of the gospel. Amen. It's the antidote of sin. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we need everybody ought to tell it. Oh, I tell you, it's amazing here. This little old gal's hardship and background and circumstances. And the biblical principle is so true. This little old gal, people overlook a little gal. Sometimes they're looking over a little lad, or, you know, like the boy that brought the loaves and the fishes. Overlooked, but God used them, didn't they? I remember hearing Dr. Gibbs preach a message one time, and he made the statement. He says, "You can certainly be too big for God to use you, but you can never be too little." Oh, I tell you, I like that. I like Solomon when he came to the kingdom before he got the big head. He said, I'm little, and I don't know how to discern between my people, and give me wisdom." Amen, boy. I tell you, it's amazing when you see the principle here. She's got information that would help him if he would listen. See, when you're a great man, and you're an honorable man, and you're a brave man, It's hard to take counsel from a little gal. What does she know? Who does she know? Where's she been? I've been all over the world fighting for my king. I mean, I'm in high stature, and you're wanting me to humble myself to a little gal? We see how it handles here, and I think it's one of the biggest problems even in our generation. Folks got a little big for their britches. I mean, they really believe what Facebook says about them. They think they are somebody. They think they're so important that they have to answer the phone every time it rings. They do. You know, that's why you got a cell phone. It's got an answering machine on there. And if it's important, you can call them back. Be done a wee bit. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me yet. Amen. And I'm telling you, the principle we're trying to get to here is you don't have to be a big shot to help some people. You just have to have a heart that's got a servant's heart. And this little gal, she's got that desire to give her master some information. So word gets to concerned counselors. Naaman's got these men that are around him, and he's irreplaceable. I remember when David was in the heat of the battle, and they said, man, it would take 10,000 to replace you. You stay here, we'll go kill the enemy. And there's sometimes in the course of life where people are irreplaceable, and you need to have a little wisdom. And they wanted to keep this old boy around for the sake of the future of the kingdom. There's a lot I could say about that. And boy, I tell you, sometimes we just act like it's always going to be the same. Would to God that it was, but it isn't. And boy, I tell you, it's amazing here in verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus. And boy, he gives them the insight. Said, this little gal is a slave gal. We took her captive. And she says, there's a preacher down there. And this old boy's got a touch. I mean, he's connected. I mean, he knows the God in heaven. He could help our master. He could help your servant. I mean, he could help. Well, King says, I'm on board. He said, man, we need to do that. It's worth the trip. It's worth the try. It's worth the money. I mean, what do we got to lose? We could lose the captain of our guard. Boy, I tell you, so they end up, they've nothing to lose. And if they need more money, he says, man, we're at the end of our rope. Time is against us, which it is. Let's go down there and see if he'll help us. So they have simple counsel, and they head on down there. And you know what happens? It turns into a diplomatic envoy beginning between two kings. Well, sometimes you watch a little bit of... I sometimes have a fault. I want to know what's going on in the country to a fault. I've got one good deacon. He says, preacher, turn off the news and pray. Amen. He's a smarter man than me. Amen. I wish I'd listened to him more. Amen. I worry about our country. I do. I worry about our state. I worry about our next generation. I worry about our churches. I do. Say, you're not supposed to worry. Well, I appreciate your kindness. I'm good at it. Amen. I've been good at it for a long time. Oh, word gets back to Elisha that the king's in a conflict that he can't fix, and it looks like it's going to come to war over a leper. It's amazing what people fight over. You know, when people get sick, it's amazing how people react or who they blame or what they want to do. I mean, their fuse is about that short. Man, all you got to do is not have the empathy, just not be as compassionate, just a little bit off base. Hey, you don't even care. I'm telling you, before you know it, you got a family feud. Amen. Church split. Man, I tell you, you got to recognize everybody. You got to be aware of everything. I'm telling you, the preacher, his crystal ball is broke. I know you don't believe that. He's supposed to know it all. And he does. He knows it all. But his hard drive crashes and he can't remember nothing. Amen. Isn't that right? I knew he would agree with me there. He's a good pastor. Amen. So, hey, what happens here? You know the story. We just read it there. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letters and ran his clothes. Oh, he says, man, I'm in for a fight. Now, as a rule, it never did bother the king of Israel. He was ready for it. He did. He seemed like his whole life was fighting. Him and his wife, you know, they just loved to pick a fight. But this one, he's a little apprehensive. A little cautious. And boy, word gets back to Elisha, and he sends a messenger unto the king. He must have sent him an email. Amen. Got on Facebook, did whatever he had to do. And he said, just send that Naaman, that captain, down to me, and I'll tell him what God would want me to have him to do. You know, that's all a preacher does. preacher's just a mail boy. He's just a go-between. He just delivers the information in the Word. That's why when Paul told young Timothy, he said, just preach the Word. Amen. Now, from what you say, some people say all the time, what about what the preacher says? It don't matter what the preacher says. Preacher's not important. It's what God says is important. Amen. And I'm telling you, what a character, though. I mean, if you want to hear from God, Elisha's a pretty good one to get from. Amen? Oh, he's quite the character. And you know what happens here. He comes down. Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant out. And you know what he tells him? He says, go jump in the lake. You come to church once in a while and you think, man, I'm telling you what, I'm here. And the preacher says, go jump in the lake. You know how my people's feelings would be hurt when you do that? You know how? I don't know what it's like in Tennessee. But I tell you, I know what it's like in Alabama. They are super sensitive. Texas, boy, it's awful quiet in here tonight. What's the matter with you folks? I hear you. Thank you, brother. An Alabama boy there came up here to help me. Amen. One amen in the building. Amen. Oh, I tell you. He insults them. You know, every once in a while, a preacher will rub you the wrong way to see if there's anything made to you, see if you've got any character. How can you handle it? This old boy's a leper. He's going to die, and no news is good to him. He's in bad shape. You know, a lot of folks nowadays, they're in such bad shape, it don't matter what you tell them. They're not. They're just overwhelmed with their dilemma. They are. The devil's got them that way. Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Sin's got folks all kind of messed up. And they can't even see the truth until the truth presented to them. And boy, I tell you, it's interesting here. You have a conceited captain. Not only did you have a concerned counselor, but you have a conceited captain. In verse number 11, Naaman was wroth. Well, you just see how God's people will be when you don't tell them what they want to hear. When you don't sympathize with them. When you don't, know what most people want nowadays? Aw. Now, I'm not trying to sound unkind. You've got to understand the context here. And most people want you to just kind of, aw. You know, I found people nowadays are not very good at aws. You know why? They're consumed with their own problems. You say, do people care? Most of the times they don't. They're so consumed, aren't they? It's a mess. This generation's I know that. I'm talking to Alabama. I'm just practicing on you. I might preach this down to our church on Sunday. I think it might go better. I might even get an amen down there. Amen. Who's that preacher to tell me to go and jump in the river? You know. You think about what pride does to people? Bible says in verse number 11, he says, I thought. That's the problem. You got your iPhone and your iPad, and you got your... The devil said, I will ascend. I will be like... When it's all about I, God help us, we're in trouble, aren't we? And boy, if I was to ask how many people's got an iPhone in here tonight, we ought to give an invitation. Amen. Don't even have enough sense to know how to turn it off. Amen. Terrible thing, Pastor, having a funeral or having a wedding, both about the same. I'm serious. An ordination committee, that's about the same as well. Anyhow, the first thing you have to do, you say, would everybody pay respect tonight by turning off or muting their iPhone? You have a panic in the building. Brain's not engaged. What brain, you say? That's exactly right. I thought. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 says, God's ways are not our ways, neither are God's thoughts our thoughts. And it's really not important what you think, although that goes against your pride. It's amazing here. You know what this guy thought? He thought he was somebody. He really did. He thought he was the captain of the guard. He was a brave man. He was an honorable man. He had status and stature, recognized people absolutely. Woo, man, they were Johnny on the spot when this guy was around. Boy, when he showed up to the preacher, the preacher didn't act that way. The preacher didn't say, oh man, you're here. Really. He didn't fall apart. Things haven't changed in 6,000 years. When you start thinking about people today, what they do is they compare themselves among themselves, and they're not wise. You know, nobody in here is wired the same way. God knows it's a complicated world. It's a complicated, you know, you are complicated piece of equipment. And boy, when it breaks, there's no spare parts. And we need help. And I'm telling you, everybody's going everywhere but the Lord. And boy, it's a blessing to have you here tonight. But you think about this old boy. He thought that he was a big shot and a big deal ought to be made because he was before this preacher. He thought everybody ought to just... You know, people nowadays when they come to church, down there they think you ought to recognize everybody. And boy, if you did that, the preacher would never preach. Oh, we're so thankful you're here. Oh, what would we do if you weren't here? And boy, if you didn't do this and you didn't do this and you didn't do this. You know, most churches, that's what they do. You say, why? If they don't do it, well, they're not coming back. Because they did it so somebody would say, what would we do without you? We might have God here, amen. But nowadays, it's all about self. You got to... I mean, it's amazing. Oh boy, I tell you, this old preacher, or this captain of the guard, he thought, I'm telling you, I'm not a gutter bum. Well, what's wrong? You know, some people hit bottom, you know that? Oh, General Patton, no blood and guts. He said, success is not how you reach the top, but how you bounce off the bottom. More, a lot of profoundness to that. And by the way, if you're ever going to do anything for God, you're going to bounce off the bottom a few times. I'm telling you that right now. You're not as big as you think you are, and you're not as spiritual as you think you are, and you're not as important as you think you are. God can bypass you and use somebody littler than you in a heartbeat. Amen. Oh, I tell you, I hear some people, you know, they live in a trailer. What's wrong with living in a trailer? It's a nice home if that's where you can afford. Who hadn't lived in the trailer? Amen. I've lived in the inner city. Some of the places I lived in weren't fit to live in when I was growing up, but that was home. You got to be careful nowadays expecting special treatment. Nowadays, people are spoiled. We got a bunch of snobs in our country. Blessed of God, abundance, and they forget who blessed them. This old boy, he was that way. I mean, he's just little uptown. He's somebody. He's a military celebrity. Boy, nowadays, this world makes me absolutely want to puke with these sports stars as if they're supposed to know something. Don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. And they go and say, oh, you play NBA. Oh, you're a golfer. Or you play football. What do you think? He don't know nothing about nothing. He's a dumb head. Amen. He throws a ball and hits a hit on the head or can pass. But he's not an intellect. Nobody made him Rush Limbaugh. Amen. Boy, this old boy, it's amazing to me. You know what he is? He's a legend in his own mind. He's been a captain of the guard so long. And boy, we've been blessed. You've lived the good life here in these hills of Tennessee. And I know it's got its problems. I was talking to a good preacher and he said, boy, that's one of the poorest counties in Tennessee. I said, well, I didn't know that. But that has its hardships and that has its problems. The economy sure does help hurt people and causes people and shows people their character, doesn't it? It's very difficult, isn't it? Amen. We need an adjustment on that sometimes, don't we? You look at people a little different because of their status or their place or their home or their clothes or their culture or their color. We do that, don't we? And it's just, we need help there. We do. Oh, I tell you, he thought personal attention ought to be, you ought to be recognized instead of sending a servant out. There ought to be a big promotion made and they ought to make a big deal the fact that he's come to the preacher for help. You know, it's amazing here. Some people, they come to church and they think, man, I'm in church, aren't I? I'm here, God, aren't I? They're expecting some sensational TV spectacular. You know, a Henny Bin, whoa, you know, business. Everybody get fired up and everybody get in the flesh. Woo-hoo. You know, I know you don't do that here. But boy, I tell you, I was watching one of them Benny Hinn's or Henny Bin emotional buzzes a few years ago, and he had these two boys come to the platform. One was Harvey and one was Fred, and it was one of them healing meetings. And boy, I tell you, oh, Harvey was on crutches, and Fred, don't take me wrong, you got to apologize. It felt like I'm a California preacher sometimes. You have to apologize for everything you say. This old boy couldn't talk right. He's from Alabama. Amen.
Amen.
Careful, brother. This old boy had a speech impediment. You know, he couldn't talk. Yeah, he's from Alabama. Amen. He might have been from Tennessee. I don't know. Second cousins for sure. Amen. And boy, I tell you, old Benny Hinn, he gets them over there behind the curtain and he says, we're going to have a healing meeting tonight. And I'm telling you, God's going to do something spectacular. And boy, everybody just, whoa, just like you all, amen, just fired up. And then he cries out to old Harvey. He says, Harvey, throw them crutches away. And boy, one crutch comes out from this side of the curtain. And everybody goes, wow. Another crutch comes out from the other side of the curtain. Everybody just goes nuts. He said, wow, what about that? He said, Fred, say something. He said, Harvey fell down, amen. That's what this old boy expected. He expected that preacher to come out and say, where's the oil at? Let me get off this platform. I'll get in trouble. Somebody's going to pull a pistol on me, amen? But don't worry, I got one too, amen? You get that? He's waiting on that a charismatic, whoa, brother. No, better not. But I hear you're an Alabama fan, so you're all right. Where's a Tennessee fan? Amen, his boy. No. I'm amazed I can still do this, amen? God help me tonight, I won't sleep good, amen? Oh, I tell you, he thought, you know, when you start thinking about what happens, here's what he says there in verse number 11. He said, surely he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. He was expecting showtime. Let's get ready to rumble. You know the deal. Some of you carnal Christians in Tennessee know what I'm talking about. I don't. I just heard somebody say that. Where's my halo? You know what he says? He makes comparison to Alabama and Tennessee. He says there, are not Abana and Pharfar in verse 12, rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? He said, I tell you what, I don't need to go down to that river Jordan. That's so nasty, Jordan. Why would I want to go down there the crimson when I can have the Vols? Help me now. Lord, I'm out of the boat. I'm sinking. Save me. Oh, you know, you start thinking about how people are and they get to your church. That's my church better than our church. You know, people all down around Alabama. Our preacher. Boy, he's a cute little preacher. I'd get rid of him if he was cute. Amen. And I'm cute about a preacher. Oh, I hate a sissy preacher. Is that on TV? I hate a sissy preacher. Amen. Oh, they're so cute nowadays. And their ripped up jeans and their cool shirt. I seen one old guy. He used to be a good preacher. And now he's about 60 years old trying to act like he's 40. You imagine me standing up here in my flip-flops? Being cool. Don't be cool. Go to Sunday school. Boy, I tell you, it's a mess. It's a mess. We're living in a mess. And boy, this great man, he wasn't having a good day. His brain was not thinking right. You know, every once in a while, like every day, when your brain's not engaged, boy, you're not thinking. You don't put on the armor of God. You don't put on the helmet of salvation. You don't present your body and put the armor of God on so you can be protected from principalities and powers. And you wonder why some of the things come out of your mouth. And you say, what am I? What's wrong with me? You're just not ready for the engagement of the day. Oh, he thought there ought to be personal attention. Ought to be recognized. He thought big promotion ought to be made. And boy, I tell you, they ought to make a big deal. The fact that he's there. And boy, I know what. I tell you, I love your pastor. I am always thrilled when one visitor walks in the door. I'm always thrilled when somebody we've been praying for walk in the door. We love to have visitors at our church. We love to see people come that haven't been coming. And we love to see people come that's supposed to come. Amen. I was telling my church the other day, thank you for coming. One of my ladies says, you shouldn't thank us. I said, boy, I have to nowadays. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to sound like a California. I hate a California preacher. They always apologize for everything they say, and I'm starting to do it. God forgive me, amen. I'm about ready to retire, amen. Oh, you know, we have better rivers to dunk someone in Abana and Pharfar rather than that old nasty, dirty, roaring Jordan River. And he gets mad, he has an attitude, and you know what I love about this portion of Scripture? Thank God he has some servants. There you are, right there in verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake on him, saying, my father, If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, man, if he had made it spectacular, if he had made it sensational, if he had recognized you and everybody was going, amen, amen, boy, you'd have been all just swolled up like an old bullfrog. You know, like you do. Nobody loves anybody else's name more than their own name. Somebody says, hey, brother, and they say your name. That old flesh. But you know what? Last time I read the Word of God, church shouldn't be about you. I love Brother Bobby Otley. I remember telling the pastor here, I remember when we were here, Brother Bobby and I, we preached Brother Zachary's ordination way back in the day. And boy, I went to his church here a while back. He's been in this church 50 years. He's a great old preacher. And he's got in his pulpit right there, he says, he's got a little, one of them things that Brother Steve, he says, it isn't about you. He's a great old man. And you know what? We're thankful you're here. We love you. We want you to get some help. We need you to be here. It's a terrible thing to preach to an empty church. But I tell you, even though you're here and you've got multiple problems and needs, it's still not about you. Oh, boy. Well, they begin to try to reason with the old boy. You know, it's amazing sometimes, the prodigal syndrome, the church prodigal syndrome. I believe we're in the church prodigal syndrome. What does it take to get prodigal syndrome to come to their senses and realize what's being told them is what they need to do? That's not that deep. You know, you think about the old prodigal son, everything he went through, blew it all, far country, nobody, listened to nobody, had a good mom and dad, had a good home, and all of a sudden, the Bible says in Luke 50, he came to his senses. I wish to God I knew what it would take, or what I could do, or what button I could push, or how I could get some people that are in an absolute mess to come to their senses. But I don't know how to do that. If I did that and I knew how to do that, boy, I tell you what, I'd save a lot of people a lot of hurt. But for some reason, and like I said, I don't know exactly, this old boy, he just swollen up like an old bullfrog. He said, I'm telling you what, that preacher didn't even recognize me. He didn't come out and talk to me. He insulted me. He told me where to go and jump in the river. And he says, I tell you what, I'm going back where the rivers are better. Just one problem. It's the wrong rivers. You talk about another gospel, which is not another gospel. You talk about another perverted spirit. You talk about another Bible. People say, well, it's no big deal. It's not that big a deal. Boy, it's amazing. What he has here is, he has some servants. Can I remind the Trinity Baptist Church tonight that the greatest compliment in the world is to be called or recognized or be identified as a servant of God. You know, I appreciate pastor, appreciate preachers, appreciate missionaries, appreciate song leaders, piano players, organists, and Sunday school teachers, and deacons, and all the rest. But I'm telling you what, everybody in the Trinity Baptist Church can be a servant. Dear lady, we need lady servants. Dear man, we need men servants. Grandpa, grandma, we need servants of God. Naaman wasn't a servant. He's a big dog. Big dogs need to be servants. It's a sad thing. But what happens is, this old boy, he could have lost his life. He could have died in no time with leprosy. I mean, this old boy, worse than that, could have lost his soul. Some people are sick. And boy, the servant of God says, I tell you what, I'm not sure if this thing's going to come out good, but I tell you what, you need to prepare to meet God. A good servant of God will try and do that. Because he's not a physician. He doesn't, although some of us know too much about medicine. This generation, they're medics. You talk about MASH in the average church, you know everything about meds. That's not healthy. We think, oh, I'll take two of these, you'll be all right. You wake up in 3 days and they say, where am I? Who are you? Amen. Nuts. That's right. I got a message I like to preach every once in a while, and that is, you can't fix stupid. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't have any folks in Tennessee like that, but in Alabama, boy, we got a few. I know every once in a while this preacher's as dumb as a sack of rocks. Amen. God forgive me. But I tell you, something happened in this old boy, and the light came on. The Bible says in verse number 13, the servants came and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? It's a reasonable request. I mean, when the gospel presented to anybody nowadays, come unto me, all ye that labor, and come to him. I mean, it's just a reasonable request. He said, I'm a reasonable God. I can deal with your sin. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. We got a great God tonight. We got a good message tonight. You ought to at least consider it a little bit. Amen. Pray about it a little bit. It's reasonable. The alternative's not good. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? What a sad thing. And boy, I love this old boy. It says in verse number 14, then went he down. Something clicked in his brain, doesn't say all that happened. All of a sudden, he's in the water. In the River Jordan. His servants are saying, good night, finally. Glory! He's doing what the preacher said. He's doing what the Bible says. He's going down. And you know the paradox of the Christian life. You don't go up until you go down. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up. I mean, you know how that works. It's just amazing. You can't get until you give. Amen. Oh, you can't get saved until you're lost. It's simple. It's not that complicated. And this old boy was never going to begin to get some help until he went down. Now, I don't know about Trinity Baptist Church, but I tell you what. Seem like these old altars, I don't know about these ones, but I know about ours down there. They've fallen on hard times. Now, Wednesday night, boy, I'm telling you what, the burdens of the church, it seemed like that just everybody's at the altar, and it's such a blessing. I tell them every once in a while, I said, would you do that on Sunday once? They don't. Something happens on Sunday. You get that super spiritual look about you. God speaks to you and tells you what you need to do to prepare for the next week, and you say, I ain't going down there. I wouldn't doubt that there's some folks at the Good Trinity Baptist Church that pastor hasn't seen you at the altar and doesn't know how long. Now, you're a good person. Thank God you're here. It's a blessing. But you ever go down? You ever humble yourself? Well, I tell you what, there isn't anybody in here that doesn't need to humble themselves. You know, I think we're living in a generation that's broke. Everything's problems. Preacher talks about the wall builders, and I'm telling you what, it's overwhelming for sure. But boy, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people in America that are incarcerated, and they're humbled. Just like a lot of people in wall builders, they're humbled by their circumstances, but they're not humble. There's a big difference. Because you think nobody's guilty. Glad you're saved, amen? What a blessing to have your sins forgiven. But that still doesn't mean you don't need to be humble. Oh, what a quality it is for the saint of God to not think himself more highly than he ought. And he's willing to present his body on a daily basis in order to be an ambassador and a servant of the Lord so he can tell people that are in a mess the message of salvation. Sometimes you get the message and you say, I ain't telling them, they're a mess. Man, they're such a knucklehead. I don't even like them. That's right. This new millennial or this new Z generation. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to love them, but I don't like them. They're hard to like. It's all about me. It's me too. Oh yeah, me too. You can't do that because the president got in trouble for doing that. Amen. And I didn't know I was on TV last night. God forgive us. Amen. Where's my lawyer? Would you please edit that for me? Amen. Some of you haven't a clue what I'm talking about. Well, we had a gal in our church here a while back. She's getting ready to die. And she called in her lawyer and her doctor. And family said, what's the deal? Lawyer and the doctor. She said, man, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to die. And the lawyer and the doctor come in and stand beside this dear woman. They said, what do you want? She said, Jesus died between two thieves. Amen. We buried a lawyer in Alabama here the other day, and we buried him 25 feet in the ground because deep down he was a pretty good guy, amen. I'm doing the best I can, Brother Dilbert. This crowd's tough. Maybe they all should have to go to that school meeting. I don't know. You imagine the scene? It's kind of like the prodigal son realizing he's run out of time and options, and this old boy realized he's run out of time and options, and he agreed with God. What's it going to take for you to agree with God? You know, God's plan's simple. It's not that complicated. He says there in the book of Acts chapter 4, He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I mean, it's not complicated. It's childlike faith. Amen. And boy, the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. In Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And not only that, and save as such are of a contrite spirit. And what happened to Naaman was he went down, and the way up has always been down. In the book of James, chapter number 4, he says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, submit yourselves, submit yourselves, therefore unto God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep not. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Boy, we want revival. You know what we're going to have to do? Get over ourselves. Amen. Oh, I tell you, thank God for a good church. Boy, let's not take it for granted. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 55, verse 15, for thus saith the high and the lofty one. He's allowed to be up there. One that inhabiteth eternity. That's pretty high cotton. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places, and with him that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. God likes to dwell with people that are humble. And to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing. Can you imagine the scenario here, and I'm nearly done? God's people said, amen. No boy walks down into the River Jordan, and everybody's just watching. We're a great group of spectators, aren't we? Bible, I got a message I like to preach on Easter about sitting down. They watched him there. George on the cross, and everybody, where's the popcorn? You know, Coca-Cola, I'll have that. Hot dog. That's people nowadays. Just it's absolutely social network entertainment. Boy, everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid, aren't they? Can you imagine all these servants? They're out there, and they're saying, glory to God. He's actually humbling himself. Oh, I haven't seen him humble himself in a while. It's amazing. Some of the folks were watching. Some of the skeptics were crying out saying, oh, Naaman's got religion. Man, he joined the church. Look at him. He's even being baptized. I wonder what the motive is. Wonder what he's up. What game is he playing? Well, is he in trouble? Is he trying to get out of parole? Well, you know how it works. Boy, I tell you. He's out there dunking himself. Amen. Got to be a hilarious observation. You ever dunk yourself? Boy, there he goes in 7 times, and he goes, and everybody's watching like you all said. Nothing happens. It's kind of like when you come to church every once in a while, a preacher preaches, and you hadn't been there in a while, and say, "Man, I thought going to church would be spectacular. I was expecting a lightning. I was expecting some kind of nothing happened." It's down again. All I'm trying to tell you is sometimes it takes a little time to get a little help. And we're instantaneous nowadays. We expect Johnny on the spot, fix it. You get yourself in a mess in 10 years, come to church one, two services, and expect the preacher to be absolutely Mickey Mouse. Amen. Tinkerbell on the end of the pulpit. Boom. He goes down again, number 3, and everybody's saying, I'm telling you what. What is the deal? You ever been to church a while? You ever wonder why they had 3 or 4 or 5 week sermons years ago? We can't have 3 or 4 or 5 days nowadays. We're too busy. But even a week... I remember old Harold Leek. He was one of the greatest evangelists, in my opinion. That old man preaching 5 or preacher 50, and he loved God's people. And he would come in on a Sunday and go through Friday, and I'd say nobody would come. And every night he'd just preach the Bible and preach the Bible and sing them silly songs, and his wife would sing the pretty songs. And God just blessed his word. And I'd see it by about Thursday or Friday, folks start breaking a little bit, and boy, the word of God starting to penetrate them hard Alabama, Tennessee hearts. Them old hard heads. Well, Naaman, he goes down number 4. 4th sermon, nothing happens. Kind of like wall builders. Preacher gets you there and you come twice and you think you've got it made. Think the judge ought to drop it all. Everybody else say, oh, wonderful. Boy, 5. Number of grace, number death. Depends upon who you're talking to. Amen. How dispensational, how spiritual you are. Anyhow, 5. 6. And everybody's about ready to say, this old boy's nuts. What's he doing? Preacher said 7. Number of perfection. And I'm sure Naaman's out there going, man, I'm an idiot. I tell you, I'm humbling myself out here and everybody's laughing at me. They think I'm a nut. Well, you are a nut. And you are an idiot. And when you realize that, you're going to be a happier camper. Amen. You're not as important as you think you are. Amen. Get over yourself. Amen. Fall in love with him. Amen. Boy, but something happened on that 7th time down. I'm telling you what. Boy, he goes down. I wish I'd have kept. I'm back on 7. Amen. I mean, he's down there underneath the water. It's like looking into one of them aquariums when you're looking in that water. And I'm telling you what, a miracle took place under that water. Well, this old boy was transformed. Leprosy was gone. I mean, this boy turned into a little old teenager with pimples on his nose. Amen. And came up, and I'm telling you what, you imagine what happened? He probably went like this. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. No, I bet you he didn't do that. He wasn't a Episcopalian. He wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't even an Independent Baptist. I imagine he came out of himself and said, woo! Glory! Where's that preacher at? What a God! Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing somebody got saved and you did that once? You know, they got saved. No, what a blessing. You remember when you got saved and your sins were forgiven and the burden was gone and Jesus saved you, gave eternal life, and you for the first time you had a little spiritual fit? Amen. How you doing, brother? Amen. Praise the Lord. I made it down once this week. Amen. Oh, I'm wore out. Where's my 5-hour energy? Sin here. Glory to God. Mountain Dew. Boy, I promise you, he's excited. You know what? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we were excited about old sinners getting their sins forgiven? Well, there's no greater miracle in all the Bible than having your sins forgiven. Hey, man, what a blessing it is. Boy, it's amazing. And you know the amazing thing that changed this old boy? In verse number 11, and I'm nearly done. I said that already, didn't I? Naaman was wroth in verse 11 and went away and said, behold, I think. But notice what he says in, after he comes up out of the water and he's clean. In verse 15, and he returned to the man of God. He's not angry at him anymore. He said, man, I tell you what, you're all right. Man, you're cool. Preachers aren't cool, but I'm telling you, when somebody gets saved, they just think, man, that preacher hung a moon. They love you. Because you had the ability to be able to tell them what they needed to hear, and you had the courage to not step back and compromise and play politics. And that's what we need in a pulpit, amen. That's what we need in soul winners. That's what we need in servants. A little aggression in soul winning. And here's what it says. He returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I think. He didn't say that. He didn't. He wasn't interested in what he thought. He said, now I know. Oh, what a difference that is. Well, it's an amazing thing. I tell you, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I know in whom I have believed. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is the record. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the only begotten Son, that you may know that you have eternal life. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Not what I think, I know, because God says it. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14, Solomon said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Oh, you imagine the reaction of old Naaman. He had a hallelujah fit, had a glory to God fit. He had a Baptist fit. Some of you could use one of them. Say, why? It gets you out of yourself. Instead of being so cool and calm. I know what you do down there in Knoxville when you go and watch that silly team down there. I know what you're like watching your 75-inch TV plasma screen whenever they score a goal. Whenever they score a goal. You come out of the body. I tell you, when Alabama's playing down there and my wife's watching it, she is absolutely embarrassing. Man, they're going, she says, kill him, kill him. Whoa! I said, one time, if you'd ever say amen to me when I'm preaching, I'd have a heart attack. Hope you're watching this, wife. I'm going to take you to Taco Bell for our 38th anniversary next week. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Together, church, whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for washing us from our sins in Your own blood. Thank You for the plan of salvation. Thank You for the Holy Ghost that draws us. Thank You, Father, for the gospel that saves us. Thank You for the book that helps us know we're saved. And Lord, I pray Your blessings upon the Trinity Baptist Church and their dear pastor's wife and his family and all the dear folks that are here. Pray to encourage them never to think more highly than they ought. Pray to help us to stay low. Help us to humble ourselves. And Father, I pray You'd bless with a spirit of revival and bless the dear saints. Bless this meeting. May it be a sense of help, a spiritual encouragement, a time of refreshing. Our Lord, bless these kids. Thank You for them tonight. Bless these homes. Father, bless in the invitation. Have Your will and way. Father, we'll be careful to thank You. Give You the glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Everybody standing, please, just for a moment. Be done just a little bit. Piano's going to play. Song leader.